Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
Valentine's bouquets come in all shapes and prices, but how do you know which one's best when there's so many out there to choose from? For me, it's simple. 1-800-Flowers.com is my Valentine's Day go-to. And you know what? I always send roses, sometimes pink, sometimes red, sometimes yellow, sometimes multicolored. And you know what? You always get a great deal at 1-800-Flowers. And if you order early for Valentine's Day, you can get 24 multicolored roses only $29.99 or upgrade to 24 romantic red roses for just $10 more. An unbelievable Valentine's Day offer from 1-800-Flowers.com. Now, these gorgeous bouquets of red or multicolored roses, it's the perfect Valentine's Day surprise that she is guaranteed to love. When it comes to Valentine's, don't settle for anything less than my rose authority, 1-800-Flowers.com. Now to order 24 multicolored roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more, just go to 1-800-Flowers.com/Hannity. Order today, 1-800-Flowers.com/Hannity.
All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800. Dow down 925 today after its drop of 666. An ominous number, I guess, from Friday. I'm watching them. They actually brought in Anderson Cooper for their big coverage of the Dow going down. Look, the Dow had gone up, 8,000+, 9,000 points since President Trump was elected. It's called an adjustment. This is why I don't like the Dow. This is why I don't like people. Winners start taking their winnings. And it's a lot like gambling. Now it's down 1,000 as it goes from here. You know, this is the problem with Wall Street. People that don't know what... I'll give you an example. Everybody that started getting into Bitcoin like last week and last month and the last 2 months and 3 months, you know, everyone's like, I got to get into Bitcoin. I'm like, I was heard about Bitcoin when it was next to nothing. It's when you finally hear about it, you got to not believe the... If you're going to invest, just be smart. Anything that you put in stocks, this is the standard rule of my guys over at Gene Hensler down in Georgia. If you're going to invest in the market, you can't be investing money you're going to need in the next 10 years. You invest money because over the course of time, you're going to see appreciation slowly but surely with the ebb and flow, the ups and downs, the swings as they go along. But you know, when you have such a large percentage of an increase, there's going to be and bound to be an adjustment as it was, crawling towards 27,000. Now it's down 1,042. Anyway, so this will be a part of the correcting process. I don't think that much of it, and it's not the biggest news story of the day, in case you're interested. The response to the House Intel Committee memo is as predictable as the day is long. Here's where we are today. There is a new memo out. I haven't noticed anybody in the news media following it today. And it, too, like the House Intel memo of Devin Nunes, is blockbuster. We also have discovered the dossier author, Christopher Steele, wrote another anti-Trump memo that was fed info by Clinton-connected contacts and the Obama State Department. We're going to give you all the details of that coming up in a few minutes as well. Now, I told you on Friday that this is only the beginning. Now, the first memo came from the House Intel Committee, and it was released on Friday. Well, now we have another memo released by the Senate Intelligence Committee, and that includes Charles Grassley as the chairman, and the Lindsey Graham also on this memo. And we have new developments on that. We've also identified who the FISA judge is in this particular case. And we've got new information from Sarah Carter, who's going to join us in the course of the program here today. And I watched as little TV as possible. I don't even watch it. One of the good things is I actually get a service that gives me, so I don't have to see these people, because I don't like most of the people in the mainstream media anyway. And their egos are so fragile, down 1,300. You want me to keep going with this? Down, people are, you know what happens? Then the Dow goes down 1,000, everyone starts panicking. And they're like, sell! Sell now! Quick, do it now! Sell! 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 Let's go, hurry up. I'm not a big investor in the stock market. How many years have I said on this program, Linda, How many years have I said on this program that I am not a big stock market person because I don't like this?
Did you want me to talk?
Yes, I wanted you to talk.
I don't want to interrupt your flow. You're in a great flow.
Okay, are you done being angry at me?
Are you sure?
You said you gave up your hate list and you're starting to hate on me.
I have no hate.
I owe you money from the Super Bowl.
Clearly.
You should... I just...
Yes, many, many years.
Well, I've been saying it for years. You know,
many years.
Many, 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 many years.
For like an eternity.
All right, down 1,600. Here we go. Rocky Road.
Very long time.
Doom and gloom. It was just below 24,000. Now it's making a slight recovery.
You're not supposed to get in the stock market unless you are prepared to stay the course. You must
stay the course. Yeah.
You must be ready for the ebb and flow.
That's correct, and I've been saying that forever.
You're welcome.
All right, so last Friday, this story breaks about the memo in the House Intelligence Committee. And what did we learn last Friday? We learned some things that raises real, real legitimacy and legality issues involving the DOJ and the FBI and their interactions with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and a real breakdown of what the legal process established that are designed to protect the American people from FISA abuses. Now, FISA, just to break it down simply, is your government spying on you. And the secret court, they've got to be able to present information that is compelling and overwhelming enough so and probable cause that you are involved in something that is a danger to the United States of America. Very high bar. By the way, going after Carter Page, who doesn't even work for the Trump campaign, is ridiculous at the time. But we'll put that aside. Now, the amazing thing in this that we learned on Friday, the dossier compiled by the former MI6 guy, Christopher Steele. In the memo last week, we learned that he was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and passionate about him not being president. We also learned that neither in the initial application for the FISA warrant in October of 2016, nor any of the renewals, it was renewed every 90 days, you have to renew it three times, did he ever disclose that it was at the bottom of the chain, it was the Clinton campaign and the DNC and a political party funding Steele's efforts. And remember, we also learned that Deputy Director McCabe testified before the committee in December 2017, no surveillance warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier information. And then we also learned a few other things. Remember, in the hearings, we found out that Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson never verified Christopher Steele's information. And then we find out that they never disclosed to the judge that it was the Clinton campaign. Now, remember, the money was funneled Clinton campaign through a law firm. The law firm funnels it to Fusion GPS. Then they funnel it to Christopher Steele, whatever they're paying him in here. Now, the initial application, you know, doesn't name Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson, who was paid for by a U.S. law firm, Perkins Coie, representing the DNC, representing the Clinton campaign. The application does not mention that Steele was ultimately working on behalf of and paid for by the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Now, there's a big deal today. Well, let's release the Democrats' arguments. Well, I know for a fact, and people that have actually read this, and I never give my sources away, that in fact, it was only a footnote. They never mentioned Christopher Steele. They never mentioned the Clinton campaign paying for all of this. It might have a political taint to it. A footnote. No, this was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton, her campaign, and the DNC whose finances she controlled. So the initial application, you know, was working for a named U.S. person, doesn't name Fusion GPS, doesn't name Glenn Simpson, doesn't tell the whole story that the guy that put the dossier together, that it was a non-verified dossier. So you have an opposition party candidate in an election year funding, you know, a dossier on the opposition party and getting a warrant now to spy on that campaign and an incoming president. That's what we learned. And they used deceptively... They use an article by Yahoo News and Michael Isikoff that came from the same source, Christopher Steele. In other words, they're acting as though they're two independent corroborating sources when it was only one. That is a fraud before the FISA court. And it's a fraud to get a warrant to spy on an opposition party. And it's a fraud on the court so they can spy and literally undermine an incoming president. Now, there's more information about this. Remember, before and after Steele was terminated, well, he still continued contact with the Department of Justice and the attorney, Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr, a senior DOJ official who worked closely with Deputies Yates and Rosenstein. And shortly after the election, the FBI began interviewing Orr, documenting his communications with Steele, including Steele's, you know, being desperate that Donald Trump not get elected. At the same time, Bruce Orr's wife was employed by Fusion GPS to assist in the cultivation of that op research that was never verified on Trump. And Orr then gave the FBI all of his wife's op research paid for by Clinton and the DNC, but they never told the judge this. And then, of course, the deputy director, Andrew McCabe, testifying that no surveillance warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier. Well, now we've got a new memo today. And this one comes from Charles Grassley's committee. And he goes into great detail teaching us things. For example, it's, as you know, Christopher Steele hired by Fusion GPS to gather information about the links between Russia and Donald Trump. And pursuant to that business arrangement, Steele, get this, prepared a series of documents styled as intelligence reports, some of which were later compiled into a dossier and published by BuzzFeed in January of 2017. On the face of the dossier, it appears Mr. Steele gathered much of his information from Russian government sources inside of Russia. And according to the law firm Perkins Coie, Mr. Steele's dossier-related efforts were funded through Fusion GPS by the law firm on behalf of the DNC and the Clinton campaign. So they're paying, and it was unverified. Now, the fact that you're so thick-headed, by the way, the Dow is only down 800 now. Things are better, getting better. It was down as much as 1,500. No, it's recovery. You got to put the happy music in. Happy days are here again. Now, we also learn in this new memo that is released today that it appears in litigation that Mr. Steele was involved in Great Britain, that either he lied to the FBI or the British court on the classified documents reviewed by the committee containing materially false statements. Now, a lot of this is redacted, so I can't give you all the information. In response to the committee's inquiries, the chairman and ranking member received a briefing from then FBI Director James Comey. Then they redacted it. Similarly, in June of 2017, the FBI Director Comey testified publicly before the Senate Committee on Intelligence that he had briefed President-elect Trump on the dossier's allegations in January of 2017. This is when he did it at Trump Tower. And Comey described it as salacious and unverified. Here's the problem. In October of 2016, it was Comey signed off on the FISA warrant. So he's basically saying to Trump one thing, that it's salacious and unverified, but you can't produce to a FISA court anything that's unverified or salacious that has, as we now know, Russian lies paid for by Clinton and by the DNC. It gets complicated, and there's evidence suggesting, this is in the Senate report, that Steele materially misled the FBI about a key aspect of the dossier efforts, which bears on his credibility. And then it goes on to say, with public reports and followings, information obtained by the committee and witness interviews in the course of the investigation, that Steele provided dossier information to a number of media organizations prior to, you know, when they first put out the FISA call. And in Steele's sworn court filings and litigation in London, he admitted he gave off-the-record briefings to journalists, so-called journalists, about the pre-election memorandum. In other words, just like Glenn Simpson said, Simpson admitted that he was collaborating with the Clinton campaign to give dossier information to the press. And then they tell exactly who it is. They talk about, oh, shocking, the Washington Post and the New York Times and Yahoo News and the New Yorker and CNN fake news. You understand? This is beyond the pale. We have two memos and another dossier. We had the first memo from Friday, a memo today. I'll give you more of the details when we get back. Sarah Carter is going to break this down for you. And we also will check in with Greg Jarrett, Sidney Powell, and Herschel Walker stops by today as we continue. By the way, Dow down 1,000. We'll continue. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. All right, I know this is now getting confusing. All right, Dow's made a pretty significant recovery. Dow is now down 818. 829, 843, 840. I mean, you watch this stuff, and you guys are going insane in there. You're, like, watching it every second. It doesn't mean a thing to you because you're not in the process of getting your retirement accounts out. I understand why, you know, everybody's all happy when everything's up, 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 up. What do you think? What goes up doesn't come down? You know, well, how many times have I said in investments, it's something I want to feel it. I want to be able to touch it. I want to know I own it. I just feel very differently about, because I personally have this feeling that Wall Street is a little bit rigged. In other words, the people that work there, that have all the inner knowings, the inner going on. Now, there are some people that do real, genuine research, and then they figure out, okay, this stock's going to go up, or that stock's going to go up, or I believe that this category of investment is going to be great in the future. Like, if I had to guess right now, I would say I like oil, because I think moving America towards energy independence. But on the other hand, then you got to think it through. Well, if we bring more product on the market, supply and demand crisscross and dictate the price. So you got to think through it. But maybe those companies that get the oil, maybe those companies that get the coal, maybe those companies that are involved in natural gas production and fracking, you know, that might be a good investment, at least on paper in my mind. Now, you know what the last thing I'm going to do is call my financial guy and go, I think you should put X dollars in this. It's not how I operate. I just urge a lot of you, just be careful. Money's too hard to come by. By the way, Dow's making a big recovery, down 700 now. Quick break. We'll come back, and we'll continue. I'm going to explain this new memo. I'll explain what's in the Democrats' memo, which really isn't anything. And then we have a new dossier that nobody knew about. Straight ahead. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. I was watching somebody on with Shep, and I actually believe I should have wrote his name down. It's very counterintuitive what's happening now. I think his analysis was dead on. Because the Obama economy was so weak all of these years, we had just artificially cheap money. Now, what's cheap money? Cheap money is when you can borrow at ridiculously low rates. The era of cheap money at some point has to come to an end. And the government is artificially, the Fed has artificially kept the price of money down. And the price of borrowing down, and now that's going to come to an end. And if, in many ways, it represents, Ashley Webster is the name, in many ways, it's a sign of the strength of the economy more than anything else. I'll give you an example of this. You know, it looks like, you know, Wall Street hit their bump today, but we could be on the verge of long expected correction. 10% is normal. Main Street, on the other hand, is moving right along. The Atlanta Fed today is predicting GDP growth for the first quarter of 2018, not 3%, which Obama never had a single year of 3% GDP growth, the only president in history. And by the way, not 4%. The Atlanta Fed is predicting 5% GDP growth, 5.4 to be exact, which would be, you know, spectacular. It's Reagan-style growth. So I think the underpinnings of the economy are so strong now that the adjustment is coming, because I think a lot of people understand that cheap money is no longer going to be available. But there will be more money available, ironically, for investments and so on and so forth. By the way, the only thing that means to you, the only advice I would have for you is I would suggest to all of you that if you haven't locked in your mortgage rate at a low rate yet, you better do it, because that's going to, you know, that's all going to come to an end soon. Now, let me explain what this new memo is from the state. This is from Chuck Grassley's committee. Now, you got to understand another thing, too. And I want to get this information out. There's going to be a series of other memos. As a matter of fact, we're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of five more memos from the House Intel Committee alone. Five. In other words, it looks like Friday's bombshell, today's Senate bombshell, released to the House Intelligence Committee, is only the tip of the iceberg. Anyway, Republican sources close to Nunes say that he's assured them that there's much more to come. And anyway, the intelligence chair and his team have told members and associates that they found other examples of politically motivated wrongdoing across various agencies, including the FBI, the broader Justice Department, and the State Department. Now, Republicans close to Nunes say there could be as many as five additional memos and reports on wrongdoing. Now, remember, you can't go to a FISA court and give a FISA court what is essentially an opposition party, bought and paid for, dossier, unverified, proven now to be full of Russian lies as a premise to get a warrant on an opposition party in the lead up to an election, and then to spy on an incoming president-elect. Now, Republicans close to Nunes. Now, Nunes will be on Hannity tonight. They say there could be as many as five more of these memos or reports of wrongdoing. And this is only the first step in what is a lot more to come. Now, a Republican briefed on Nunes's investigation said there are several areas of concern where federal agencies use government resources to try and create a narrative and influence the election. And some have suggested coordination with Hillary Clinton operatives Sid Blumenthal and Cody Shearer to back up the false narrative, which I'm getting to in a second here. And Nunes hinted at what's coming next in an interview Friday with Brett Baer, and I'll ask him about this tonight because Baer asked Nunes if more memos are coming out, and he said yes. So this just completes phase one. This completes the FISA abuse portion of the investigation. And then he said we're in the middle of what I call phase two of our investigation, which involves other departments, specifically the State Department, and some involvement that they had in this. Now, names you're going to hear a lot of should not surprise you. Bill and Hillary Clinton. In other words, Sid Blumenthal and controversial activist Cody Shearer. The Guardian has also reported the FBI reviewed a second Trump Russian dossier with Shearer, an ally of Bill Clinton's White House back in the 90s. Felipe Reins, by the way, Hillary Clinton's closest aide for more than a decade, said, oh, he never heard of Shearer. I don't think that's true. And I've heard of Shearer. Hillary Clinton's longtime spokesman certainly knows who the guy is, so I don't believe that. Now, here's what we're beginning to see in this next part out released by the Senate today. You got a top Obama Justice Department official whose wife worked for Fusion GPS, Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, and was paid for by Fusion GPS to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Fusion GPS's anti-Trump project was paid for by both the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Now, think about that. Just like Andrew McCabe's wife is getting fundraising help from the Clintons' best friend, Terry McAuliffe. Anyway, as Nellie Orr's husband, top Obama justice official Bruce Orr directly benefited from his wife's Fusion GPS income, doesn't that raise staggering questions about whether or not Mr. Orr accepted Clinton campaign cash in exchange for helping derail the president's election? Just like, you know, what was Andrew McCabe thinking when his wife is getting $700,000, an astronomical amount of money from the Clintons' closest ally? Now, the Daily Caller had a piece under a contract from the Clinton campaign. Fusion GPS's firm is paying the wife of senior Department of Justice official as part of their efforts to gather op research on Trump. And then he's bringing it in vis-a-vis the FBI. Unbelievable. You know, knowledge of this relationship has raised a lot of questions, which it should have, to the extent, you know, to which the firm may have paid for heightened access to the criminal justice system and whether they would have hired Nellie absent the spousal connection. Anyway, a declassified memo said that Bruce Orr's wife was employed by Fusion GPS, assisting in the cultivation of this op research, which turned out to be false, which led to a FISA warrant against Donald Trump. And then you've got Bruce Orr meeting with Christopher Steele both before and after the election and then reporting back to the FBI. And he's using his wife's research to give to the FBI. This doesn't sound a little too incestuous to you? And the money sweetened the pot for the Orrs personally, made it easier for Fusion GPS to get the dossier to be used before the court if they made payment to Bruce Orr's wife. Anyway, this is pretty unbelievable. Now, Fox News is now reporting, and Sarah Carter will delve deeper into this in the top of the hour, that certain Clinton associates, and that's the term being used by two top Republicans in the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is Memo 2, the one that came out earlier today in the Senate, and Chuck Grassley's memo, that two Clinton associates were involved in feeding anti-Trump information to Trump dossier author Christopher Steele. Now, in those if those Clinton associates are who we think they are, you know, that would be, you know, the same henchmen and enforcers who Hillary used to cover up, you know, during the height of impeachment and everything else, and people involved in, you know, going out there with the bimbo eruption days, for crying out loud. you know, this whole deep state scandal is about to get very ugly because the Clinton associates were feeding allegations to former British spy Christopher Steele. Oh, so I guess we could trust Sidney Blumenthal. What are you two looking at? You're up to something, texting something to each other. I can tell. What? All right. Anyway, but Sidney Blumenthal now is involved in this. There's never anything good coming out of that. So the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, Lindsey Graham, had asked the Justice Department in January to investigate Steele based on evidence they say suggests that he lied to the FBI about his contacts with the media or the FBI misrepresented Steele's statements. The lawmakers are now asking the FBI for an emergency review of their criminal referral so it can be made public with limited redactions. There's a ton of redactions in this memo. Because the memo from Grassley and Graham, which is now public for the first time, provides insight into Steele's circle of contacts during that time. But anyway, it says the memo states that Steele had received information that came from a foreign subsource who was in touch with, redacted, a contact, redacted, a friend of the Clintons who passed it to, redacted. Now, Sarah Carter is reporting, and we'll get more information from her at the top of the hour, that it could be Jonathan Winter and, in fact, Sid Vicious Blumenthal that are part of the redacted people in all of this. So we'll get that information sooner than later when we start at the top of the hour. But it's pretty troubling enough that the Clinton campaign funded Steele's work, but now we're discovering that these Clinton associates were contemporaneously feeding Steele allegations. You know, did they feed the Russian hooker story, for example? What part did they play in all of this? I'd like to know. When is Sid Vicious going to be put under oath? When are other people that were involved in this going to be put under oath? Anyway, they're feeding Steele allegations. We know it's unproven. We know it's not verified. All in an effort to feed the deep state from within the Clinton campaign. Clinton's buying and paying for it. Why not have her closest friends and associates feeding false information to the guy that hates Trump that's writing it? And don't worry, the people at Fusion GPS, they said they never looked into the veracity of it. But then it was still used to obtain a FISA warrant to spy on an opposition campaign. By the way, rightly, Nunes has blasted Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, he is auditioning for his show on MSNBC. And anyway, apparently, Devin Nunes said today there's nearly 100 leaks by Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee related to the Russia investigation. And after President Trump blasted Adam Schiff in a morning tweet, Nunes and Schiff said Schiff is out there spreading the false narrative about him and Republicans coordinating with the White House. That never happened. Now, it is interesting that I have information about the Democratic memo, but I couldn't get any information about the Republican memo. That should give you a little hint into who my sources are. And I'm told that in the Democratic memo, they don't dispute in any way. And this is the big part of this whole thing. They know that this was bought and paid for. They can't prove any truth to the dossier, but they never told the judge in this case that it was paid for by Clinton and the DNC, and it was funneled through a law firm. The closest they got to that is a footnote that says, well, there might have been a political taint to some of this, but the problem is the FBI knew at the time, they absolutely 100% knew that this was Hillary Clinton bought and paid for. And they knew it wasn't verified. Remember, back in January, long after this warrant was issued and Comey signing off on it. It's the same Comey that goes to Donald Trump at Trump Tower and says it's salacious and unverified. Why didn't they tell the court that when they were obtaining the warrant? Peter King says that there's more evidence that Hillary colluded with Russia than Trump did. He's right. Anyway, he's the former Homeland Security Committee chairman, and he said there's more evidence that Hillary colluded with Russia than there is against Donald Trump. He says, I've been involved with this now for 18 months. I have not seen a single bit of evidence of any collusion at all between the Trump campaign and Russia. He said there's more of a possibility of the Russians being involved in the Hillary Clinton campaign. So many Russians had paid money to Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. Well, that begins to now begin to hit home, doesn't it? By the way, nice of CNN to hire Comey's ex-assistant. Unbelievable. Of course, they want to be in the inner circle. They also hired, who did they, Clapper? Who's the other guy? Clapper, the other intelligence guy, begins with a B. No, B. I don't know. He was involved in this stuff, too. That's all I can say. And look, I know this gets hard and gets confusing because now we have the memo that came out on Friday. Then we have a memo that came out today. Then we have four more memos at least coming from the House Intelligence Committee. Then we've got information of a new dossier today. And by the way, Donald Trump's approval rating is holding steady at 49. And I've got to believe at the end of this, I want to know who's going to go. Who's going to go to the FISA judge? Judge Rudolph Contreras is his name. Who's going to go to him and ask him if he feels he was lied to or they purposely misrepresented to him in an attempt to get a FISA warrant? Because if I'm the judge in that case, I am one pissed off judge. And you know what you don't want to do in life is piss off a judge. It's a bad idea. Yeah. And what about the Flynn recusal? It's another good point. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. And let's see. Oh, so we have Sarah Carter. She's got new information coming up at the top of the hour. Then we'll check in with Sidney Powell and Greg Jarrett are going to join us. We have an amazing Hannity tonight. Just keeping this information straight is a full-time job. All right, so we have the first memo Friday. Now we've got the Senate memo today. Democrats want their rebuttal memo released. I'm told it does nothing to justify the position that was taken. In other words, they can't even say, "Oh, we told the court that it was funded by Hillary and by Democrats." They can't say that. All it is a footnote. Well, there might be a political tinge to that. And nobody has disputed the FBI saying that everything in the Republican memo is true. If they want, I say go in, redact things that need to be redacted about sources and methods, and then let the American people dig into it all themselves. You know, they say, well, Devin Nunes didn't read it. Well, he wasn't the one that was appointed to read it. That was Trey Gowdy because he's a lawyer, a trained lawyer. All right, 800-941-SHAWN. Sarah Carter has two articles out on all of this. She'll break it down for us, including the Clinton connection. Greg Jarrett, Sidney Powell join us. And the one and only Herschel Walker will check in with us today as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SHAWN is our number.
Well, the chairman is wrong. Now, the chairman also hasn't read the underlying materials. But, for example, the argument that the Yahoo News article was circular reporting because it was based on something Christopher Steele said, that's not what the article was cited for. And if you read the application, you would know that's not what the article was cited for. But the whole point here is not to be accurate. The point is to be misleading. The Democrats didn't even get to read the memo until minutes before it was voted out to the House. If they were truly interested in getting to the truth, that's not the process that they would use. Instead, they used a vehicle that has never been used before in the history of the House to release this very one-sided memorandum. In terms of Andy McCabe, like the memorandum itself, they cherry-pick selectively in what he said. Now, while I can't go into the specifics of his testimony, I can tell you what he said was that you have to look at a FISA application as a cohesive whole. All the parts are important. And the suggestion that the chairman makes there and others on the committee have made also that the entire dossier was included in this is just plain false. And the court was notified a political actor was involved, and that's part of the misleading nature of the FISA application.
No, the only misleading part of all of this is what Adam Schiff just said. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. All right, so we have the House Intel memo, which came out on Friday. Now we have the memorandum from the Senate, and that would be Charles Grassley and Lindsey Graham's memo. And that adds a lot of light to what we learned. Then we got this 10-page rebuttal memo, if you will, coming out of Adam Schiff and company. What I have been told by people in the know, and I can confirm this now, is that when they talk about identifying to the FISA court specifically whether or not there were political actors, they totally downplayed it. The FBI knew at the time that the people paying for this were Hillary Clinton and the DNC. And they only added a minor footnote that there may have been some political actors involved. But they knew otherwise. They knew who the actors were. It's beyond deceptive, along with everything else. All right, here to basically go over all of this, these new developments with us, Sarah Carter. Sarah, welcome back to the program. So now we have another memo, this one from the Senate. I've been reading it with a fine-tooth comb. There's a lot of redacted material in here, but it does raise a lot of new information for us. What is your take?
It raises significant information, Sean, because what it states is that there was this other dossier floating around, other information within the State Department, that persons in the State Department were actually involved in collecting politically motivated information on President Trump, then, you know, and the campaign, and then President-elect Trump. So here you have another set of information pouring in to the State Department, then being funneled back to Christopher Steele from members closely associated with Hillary Clinton. What I can tell you is this. It is true. Cody Shear, I have been able to confirm, he was a former journalist who went to work for the Clintons in the 90s. He is very partisan, was involved in this. What's even more interesting is that Jonathan Winter, who is with the Libya desk at the State Department, and this is important, he's on the Libya desk. He still works there right now. Was also involved and connected to Christopher Steele and the State Department during this information overload. I don't know if you remember, but I recently wrote a story on Sidney Blumenthal. And remember Sidney Blumenthal?
Sid Vicious is back. Sid is back. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I wrote a story about Sidney Blumenthal and how Sidney Blumenthal was connected to the dossier. When you look at this and talking to the sources that I've been speaking with, Jonathan Winter on the Libya desk, Sidney Blumenthal sending emails to Hillary Clinton and being actually asked by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton very intense and very poignant questions on Libya. He was directly involved in Libya also. Then you have Christopher Steele, the Western intelligence official. Now, a lot of people speculate, and we haven't been able to prove this yet, that the Western intelligence official in a lot of the emails that Hillary Clinton actually got from Sidney Blumenthal, he was actually referring to Christopher Steele. So now we see all of these connections and all of these players involved in the same purpose, which appears to be a very partisan and a very direct attack on what they thought then was the incoming, you know, President of the United States, President Trump. And they went after him prior to the election and even after the election by members of the Obama
administration.
But
by the way, as if you go to the Grassley memo, and we'll put all of this up on the screen tonight, it actually says, talking about Christopher Steele, hired by Fusion GPS, and his purpose to gather information about the links between Russia and then presidential candidate Donald Trump. You know, this is when we get into the hookers and all these other ridiculous stories. Again, none of this was verified, as was in the House intelligence memo that came out on Friday. But then it goes on to say, and they've got new information, that Steele gathered much of his information, which we already knew, but to put emphasis on this, from Russian government sources inside of Russia. So in other words, it's really Hillary and the DNC paying Fusion GPS, paying Steele to get Russian government sources to influence the election and at least misinform the American people. And then it gets used to get the FISA warrant.
That's correct. And so when you look at the evidence on its face, and this goes back to them trying to find collusion between Trump and Russia, there was no evidence, and yet they have not been able to show one small bit of surmountable evidence of any connection between a collusion between Trump and Russia. But here you have overwhelming evidence that they used the Russians to build a dossier against President Trump and his campaign. So the evidence is overwhelming.
Why do you call it a second dossier or a second memo?
Because what it was a second memo apparently put together by Cody Shear based on foreign intelligence sources, which people believe to be Russian, and foreign Western intelligence
sources. Was this also given to the FISA court? Was this also given to the FISA court to get the warrant? Or we don't know that yet?
That's what we don't know yet. We don't know yet. But what we do know is that the second dossier was certainly leaked, parts of that dossier, to the media. So remember this. This is the reason why Senator Grassley is so up in arms over Christopher Steele and sent a criminal referral. Because Christopher Steele while he was working apparently with the FBI and giving the FBI information that was in his dossier, was also leaking to the media. And this was the disinformation campaign. Now, the FBI then decided not to pay him, according to my sources. They were getting ready to pay him over $50,000 for his information.
But then they found out he was leaking. That was in the House Intel memo. Let me go to another part of this. There was substantial evidence. This is in the Grassley memo, that Steele materially misled the FBI about a key aspect of his dossier efforts, one which bears on his credibility. So, you know, the FBI knew all of these connections. They knew where the money was coming from. And go back to the first FISA warrant attempt when they used the original dossier. They purposely didn't tell the court in spite of what the 10-page memo suggests. They just put a footnote because they know that they never mentioned this was paid for, bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton. They just said as a
disclosed, which should have been disclosed.
Well, had to be disclosed.
Surveillance court.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
And what about what McCabe said? Apparently, I've had five people corroborate is that McCabe did say we wouldn't have even sought the FISA warrant without the dossier.
That is correct. I have spoken to sources as well who have emphatically stated that during the closed-door hearing, and maybe we'll get an opportunity to see this, maybe we will get to see the testimony of McCabe, that during that closed-door hearing, McCabe was specifically asked about the Steele dossier and the use of the Steele dossier in order to obtain the FISA warrant. And he made it very clear that without the Steele dossier, they would have not been able to obtain the FISA warrant.
Okay, let's go back to Charles Grassley's memo, which came out today, and it talks about the new information obtained by the committee witness interviews in the course of their investigation indicated that Mr. Steele provided dossier information to, quote, numerous media organizations prior to the attempt to get the FISA warrant, and in Steele's sworn court filings in litigation in London, he admitted that he gave off-the-record briefings to a small number of journalists about the pre-election memoranda. In other words, in a sworn filing, he stated that journalists from the New York Times, the Washington Post, Yahoo News, Michael Lizikoff, which his article was leaked by Steele, that becomes a part of, you know, the original attempt to get, or the second attempt to get the FISA warrant against Donald
Correct.
Trump, they were all briefed about all of this. And we learned in testimony from Glenn Simpson, let's not forget, that he was coordinating getting this information out with Steele. He was coordinating with the Clinton campaign to advance their propaganda.
Well, and that is exactly what Glenn Simpson has done in the past. Remember, Glenn Simpson, and a lot of people forget this, but Glenn Simpson was working actually with the Russians. Prevazon Holdings and others was working with the Russians in order to fight against the U.S. law, the Magnitsky Act. So in effect, this is something that's a pattern for Glenn Simpson. He would leak stories to his friends in the press. He would try to send out disinformation to change the way people felt, to sway public opinion on specific issues. One that I just brought up, the Magnitsky Act, which was the ire
of Vladimir Putin. There's two levels of deception here. Level of deception one is it is Hillary Clinton bought and paid for, but it's hidden through, oh, Fusion GPS, hidden through, quote, the law firm. Oh, they didn't pay Steele after all. Then let's not mention to the FISA court who's really paying for all this. And then the next level is Steele is trying to take his phony Russian lies to manipulate the minds of the American people to rig that election. And then on top of it, then it's used to spy on an opposition candidate in an election year. This is getting scary.
It's getting very scary. And you can see Steele's extraordinary bias in the memo. I mean, he told Bruce Orr that he did not want to see President Trump elected.
Yeah.
So Christopher Steele himself was extraordinarily biased. He was not looking for information as an unbiased intelligence officer just collecting data. He was looking for whatever he could get his hands on to implicate Trump in the most outrageous story in
Here's one other
history
thing.
Right now as far as the president
in
is
the,
concerned.
In the Grassley memorandum, the new one, Mr. Steele admitted he received and included in it unsolicited and unverified allegations.
Correct.
So he's admitting he's just basically, I'll just make it up and put it out there.
Or he's admitting he's just taking disinformation from the Russians.
And he doesn't care. As he said, he had a political agenda that he wanted to fulfill.
And that does not sound like a good intelligence officer to me. That sounds like a political operative.
It sounds like a paid-for political hack hitman. Absolutely. All right, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number as we continue to unpeel this onion. It's getting more bizarre by the day. We've got Greg Jarrett, Sidney Powell coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll have all of this on Hannity tonight. Nobody else in the media is reporting what we have today. I've been watching all day. Nobody has it. Nobody knows what's in the Democratic 10-page nonsense response. Nobody seems to even want to care about these blockbuster developments inside of the Grassley memorandum. A second dossier. All right, we'll get to all of this. 800-941-SEAN is our number. And as we continue with Sarah Carter, Fox News investigative reporter. Okay, so now we have the second memos coming out. And then we've got the Democrats. They're dying to push out their rebuttal memo to the Nunes memo, but I've already got enough briefing on it that there's no there at all, and they cannot refute either McCabe saying, well, we wouldn't have had the FISA warrant without the dossier. Now we have from the Grassley memo, oh, yeah, they knew that even Christopher Steele knew that the dossier was unverified, and also, which I think is a very important point, they knew when they went to the FISA court that, in fact, Hillary was the source of all of this, funding source, and they never told the court that.
Well, and they're going to continue to try to parse words and push their agenda despite the facts. But I think as long as the American public gets the facts, they won't be able to overcome it. I'll give you one example. You know, Representative Adam Schiff has been out there in the media. You played a clip of it saying that the Chairman Nunes never bothered to go read the underlying materials. He says it over and over again. It becomes a talking point of the Democrats. What they failed to tell the American public was that in a January 24th letter, the Assistant Attorney General, Stephen Boyd, specifically states that only two ranking members of the committee were allowed to see the FISA application documents. The committee decided to let Trey Gowdy review all of the documents because he has a legal background and is able to discern what's in those FISA applications. And Schiff was the other member. Each member was allowed to bring only two people with them to conduct this review. So nobody else was allowed to review these documents. And remember, they spent nearly a year fighting the Department of Justice.
Oh, and then they fought to the last minute, Rod Rosenstein begging not to release them. What do we know about Judge Rudolph Contreras?
Yes, and I mean, look, we need to hear from the FISA judge. We can't make assumptions because looking at from what we're reading in the memo itself, we are under the impression, based on what the committee has said, that the judge was not well informed. So we don't know. And remember, Sean, a lot of these FISA applications, because they are so detailed and they require so much work, are automatically just given a green light.
I got to let you go, unfortunately. We have so much to get to. Sarah will join us tonight on Hannity on the Fox News channel. I can't believe the media is ignoring what is now another bombshell memo. They're just kind of trying to ignore it because it wasn't publicized the way the House Intel one was. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN. Sidney Powell, Greg Jarrett will get their take next. And then, yeah, football legend Herschel Walker is going to join us. Looking forward to that. Straight ahead.
Jeffrey, you've read the memo. What do you think? Might the FBI be in trouble?
No, I think this is an absolute disgrace. I think this is a dark day in American history.
This is an embarrassment. The Republican Party and the enablers of the Republican Party, basically with President Hannity over at Fox News, hyped this thing into the sky. The first rule of politics is always under promise, over deliver. They turned this into something where they had people believing that today you would see Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Jim Comey, Susan Rice marched off in handcuffs. And instead, you've got people laughing at Devin Nunes like he's Tommy Wiseau. This is an absurdity. This thing is the weakest sauce I could have imagined.
For those of us of a certain age, we remember the big nothing burger of Geraldo and Al Capone safe. And so this memo is like Al Capone safe and Geraldo, it's a big nothing.
I think I would go beyond what Jeffrey just said, and I think, I mean, it's pretty much a dud. I mean, Sean Hannity on Fox News has been sort of flogging this idea that this document was going to be bigger than Watergate.
I'm
This is not the Destroy Trump, Hate Trump, liberal, left-wing, groupthink media. Glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. I know this gets complicated. It's really simple, but it gets complicated. On some levels, it sounds complicated. And then you've got everybody in the media wanting to, you know, muddy the waters and gum up the waters a little bit. You know, the level of fury that exists in the media towards people like myself and others that were in the forefront of breaking these stories, I mean, it's like they're dripping anger, you know, hoping one thing we get wrong. They've been wrong for an entire year, pushing a phony narrative with no evidence. And now we've got not one memo. Well, now today we have a second memo, and we find out there's a second dossier, if you will. You know, we got a House memorandum came out Friday. We've got the Senate memorandum came out today, which we just went through with Sarah Carter. And then we find out that there really was a second dossier. In other words, the dossier author Steele wrote an anti-Trump memo that was fed. Now we've got Clinton connections involved in all of this. You know, as Sarah just laid out here from this guy, Jonathan Winters, and Sid Vicious Blumenthal is back in the mix. I've known for some time now that he has his fingerprints over this, and it's never pretty. Not a nice human being. And so we're following that aspect in all of this. And Adam Schiff and all these Democrats are lying. They went on TV from Friday on out, all weekend long, saying, well, of course we told there was a political connection. No, the FBI knew Clinton bought and paid for it. They knew it. And a footnote at the end of the application that, well, there may be a little political taint to some of this, just so the court knows. No, that's not the same as saying Hillary Clinton, the other candidate, and the DNC paid for the entire thing. And then they didn't say it was unverified either. And they used all of it for McCabe to say that there is no warrant without the dossier. You can say, no, we don't know the mind of the judge, but the judge certainly had to be impacted by it, because otherwise, how can you say no dossier, no FISA warrant? And that's fired Deputy FBI Director McCabe. And it seems like a lot to take in. You know, I have so many friends in the FBI, I want to address them. You know, I remember as a Catholic, when the whole church molestation scandal was coming out, I was just disgusted. And I'll be honest, I consider myself a Christian. I believe in the Catholic Mass. You know, there is evil waiting like all around us every single day. Evil happens. And the fact that it went so high up in the hierarchy that it institutionally became a massive cover-up. And I couldn't go back. That doesn't mean I've met some wonderful priests in my life. People that really have dedicated their lives to God. Much better people than I can ever be in life. They're wonderful people. They shouldn't be tainted by the actions of a few or actions of maybe even many. This in no way in my mind is my impression of special agents and FBI. I've always admired them. I come from a home of law enforcement. My mom was a prison guard, for crying out loud. That's pretty law enforcement-ish. You know, my dad worked in family court in probation. Love the police. I nearly became a cop myself. I rarely talk about it. I took the NYPD test. Then I took the physical. Somehow I even passed the psychological. And I was appointed to the academy, but about a week before I said, I'm not sure I want to do this yet. I was working my way in and out of college. I was kind of lost at that point in my life, not sure what I wanted to do. I had no idea I'd ever get into radio. I just knew at that point I loved radio, but I had no thought that I'd ever get into it. I love these guys. And the FBI, I had cousins in the FBI. And a number of cousins. Matter of fact, you'd see these cousins, and they never looked the same on any given day. They'd have beards. They'd be dressed like bums. I mean, you'd never think these are special agents. But these guys all put their lives on the line to make our community safer. And they're dealing with the worst of the worst. They're dealing with the mob. They're dealing with drug dealers. They're dealing with terrorists. They're dealing with the worst of the worst. I'm not one of these broad brush people. But with that said, when you have the highest level of people, and we can count them, it's probably at most a dozen, 15 people involved. That doesn't represent the FBI. That doesn't represent the Department of Justice fully. That's not representative of the intelligence community and those that respect and honor the powerful tools of intelligence we give them. In this case, you had people that had a political agenda, were so high up the chain, thought that they could influence a U.S. election because they thought they knew better. And their arrogance is spectacular to me. And then the threats that, well, they'll get you six ways in Sunday. And, oh, we'll win. Don't worry, we'll win. We've been around longer than Donald Trump. What does that mean? The FBI wins? Is this a fight? Is this a contest? Is this a sporting event for you? It's about the Constitution and the presidency. All right, let's get to our busy telephones here. As we say hi to Della is in Oklahoma. Della, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Thanks for taking my call, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
It's very well. I got a question about Christopher Steele.
Okay, I'm listening.
Okay. Everybody's making a big deal about the comment that was in quotes that said he was desperate that Trump not be elected and passionate about him not becoming the president. But Steele isn't even a U.S. citizen. He's a Brit. Why was it so important to him personally that Trump not be elected?
Well, one day maybe we'll get the answer to that, but we do know this. I mean, he was pretty passionate about it. Remember, he said he was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected, and he was passionate about him not being president. That's why, you know, for all of his unverified, salacious information, unproven, much of which proven false, bought and paid for by the Hillary campaign, fed to a corrupt news media, and nobody's asking questions, then used as the basis to get a warrant to spy on a campaign and a president-elect, and then it keeps getting reauthorized. I'd like to know why they reauthorized it. Carter Page wasn't even a part of the Trump campaign at this time.
Exactly.
You know, I'm telling you what it is. When we get to the bottom of this, we are going to see a coordinated effort of some people that thought they knew better and thought they had whatever some superior knowledge and that they knew better than the American people on who they wanted to be president. And they worked on that person's behalf. Similarly, you know, when you give Hillary Clinton a pass for known felonies, mishandling classified information, destroying classified information, destroying subpoenaed documents and emails, and going so far obstructing justice by a bleach bit, acid wash, busting up hard drives and devices and Blackberries. Let me tell you something. That's a lot of effort to obstruct justice there. And if any of us did any of these things, we would be put in jail and we'd probably never get out. Anyway, good call, Della. Thank you. Let's say hi to Jack is in New Jersey. What's happening, Jack? How are you, my brother?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Sean, I got a problem with this FISA court. This is the United States of America. This is not a banana republic. And why aren't these judges coming forward and clearing this thing up right now? There's culpability, obviously, at the highest levels of our government. This is a constitutional issue, for God's sakes. Why isn't the FISA court stepping forward and straightening this thing out?
Well, the FISA courts, by their very design, and this was the fear of Rand Paul and a lot of people, we now know the identity of the FISA judge. We know a little bit about him. His name is Judge Rudolph Contreras is his name. And anyway, he's responsible for issuing the FISA warrant. And he was appointed to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court by Chief Justice Roberts in the midst of the 2016 election. He was sworn in May 19th, and he would go on to issue the authorization to spy on Carter Page. And but Page wasn't a part of the Trump campaign at that point. I don't think he was ever paid by the Trump campaign. I'd like to hear from the guy. I think he was lied to. I think he was purposely misled, and that's a crime.
If that's the case, Sean, okay, then there's culpability at the highest levels of our government.
Yeah.
And they need to pay the price.
I cannot disagree with you one bit. And the thing is, you know, you watch the media, they're now so angry at me for being right. They can't stand that they were wrong. that there never was Trump-Russia collusion. But it's the biggest story in their lifetime, and it's right before their very eyes if they just open them. But in fact, you know, the media is now so corrupt that they are nothing but an extension but the radical left-wing Democratic Party's agenda. Truth doesn't matter anymore. Media is dead. It's buried. Journalism's dead. There are a few remaining people out there. And how ironic, we do more journalism on this show and on Hannity, the TV show, than these people ever dreamed of. All they do is live in an echo chamber and regurgitate back to each other the same talking points. It's pretty weak. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. All right, back to our phones. Chris is in Alabama. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hello, Mr. Hannity. Thank you for taking my call. I was curious. I've been in the Army for 24 years. I'm a fairly strong conservative, and I'm having a hard time understanding what the big deal about the FISA memo really is. I've gone through and I've read it.
Okay.
And to me, it just seems like it's more information that's been
Well, it's not propagandized because I even know what's in the 10-page memo that's supposed to come out. I have my sources, which I'll never reveal. But if you have an application for a FISA warrant, and in part, the information is based on a bought and paid for opposition party dossier, a dossier that was never verified. And you're not telling the court that key information. Now, let's make this attempt at a warrant against you. And let's say that your worst enemy in the entire world is funding opposition research that's full of salacious lies about you. And then that information is brought to a court, but they never say where the funding for that opposition research comes from. They never say to the judge that it isn't verified either. You going to tell me you think that's fair? Is that the United States of America to you?
Oh, absolutely not. I guess
so. There's the information. That's it.
I realize that, but my issue is that it appears from this memo that they haven't really put out where their sources are. They haven't really said where they're getting this proof. To me, it just seems like they just wrote and said, here is the proof.
Well, you know, the point is, it's like unpeeling layers of an onion. But anyway, in the initial application, remember, this was a summary. Remember, I've also said this is only 10-15% of what's coming. But in the initial application or any of the renewals, did they ever disclose the role of the DNC funding, Clinton campaign funding, opposition research? They never disclosed that it was never verified. And by the way, even Glenn Simpson said it wasn't verified himself when he went before the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He said he didn't know. He never looked into the verification or veracity of it. And it turns out that it's full of Russian lies because we know that, in fact, Christopher Steele uses Russian sources for everything. So basically comes down to this. Hillary Clinton's $12 million with the DNC that she's controlling funnels this money through a law firm, hiring Fusion GPS, hiring Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele has an agenda. We have unverified information making its way into a FISA court and being presented before a judge. And it's all being done to spy on an opposition candidate in an election year and then undermine an incoming president. This goes to the highest levels of power in our country. You know, the elections are supposed to be about we the people. It's not supposed to be about the few chosen hierarchy that think they know better than us.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. God bless you. All right. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue. A lot more coming up on the other side. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
I definitely think there are grounds for a second special counsel because I'm not a big fan of special counsels, but I see no other remedy. And that's why 6 months ago, Mark Meadows, myself, and several others, we called for a second special counsel. Then I think now more than ever, it is certainly warranted. The one thing I always say, though, is don't have it be someone from Washington, like Mueller and his team, all the Washington insiders. Have it be a judge, a retired federal judge from somewhere in the middle of the country, somewhere outside the swamp. Have him put together a team, then go do the investigation. And then whatever conclusion they reach, I think there's a much better chance that the American people will accept that conclusion. If it's someone from D.C., if it's Mueller who tries to expand, I think that's a problem. If it's Attorney General Sessions who's recused himself, I think that's a problem.
Right.
So I see no other remedy but a second special counsel.
I never felt that I was involved in something nefarious the whole way through, from the beginning to the end. So you can understand the frustration of the president when he's told he's not under investigation. Right. I think you know the story of Andrew McCabe that walked into my office, shut my door, and basically told me that the New York Times story that was in the paper that first came out in February that said there are constant contacts between the Trump campaign and the Russians, with the door closed, looked at me and said, I want you to know that this story right here is total BS. It's overstated, and it's not true. This is the deputy director of the FBI. I didn't know who he was.
Right.
It's the middle of February. And so everyone's in this world where we're being told one thing and sort of operating in this other world of constant obsession by the media.
Congressman Gowdy said they now have concerns about the State Department. You served there until recently. Do you know what he's talking about?
I don't. I look forward to hearing what he's talking about. I will tell you, though, Margaret, that during the Ukraine crisis in 2014 and 15, Chris Steele had a number of commercial clients who were asking him for reports on what was going on in Russia, what was going on in Ukraine, what was going on between them. Chris had a friend at the State Department, and he offered us that reporting free so that we could also benefit from it. It was one of, you know, hundreds of sources that we were using to try to understand what was going on. Then in the middle of July, when he was doing this other work and became concerned,
The dossier,
he passed 2 to 4 pages of short points of what he was finding. And our immediate reaction to that was, this is not in our purview. This needs to go to the FBI.
A lot of breaking news today. Yeah, the dossier author, Christopher Steele, wrote another anti-Trump memo that he was feeding to the gullible in the news media, and in fact was fed information by Clinton-connected contacts, which Sarah Carter just laid out in the last half hour of this program here. So understand, we have the first memo that came out on Friday. This is the memo from the House Intelligence Committee. And with it, well, we learned a lot of information that is extremely troubling, not the least of which is that to obtain this FISA warrant, that it was never disclosed to the FISA judge in this particular case that there was Clinton DNC funding or any party campaign funding involved in Steele's efforts. And what they thought they cleverly did is they put in there as apparently as a footnote in the FISA application, oh, there might be some political connection of some kind. No, they knew. The FBI absolutely knew at the time that, in fact, this was funded by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Matter of fact, $12 million worth of funding. So they had a lot of funding. And don't forget that Glenn Simpson, you know, mentioned, and this was before the House Intel Committee when he testified, that he was trying to coordinate getting this unverified information out to the news media any way he can. Now we have a second memo that actually describes in detail. This is the Grassley memo that came out this morning, describes in detail how Christopher Steele was pushing this to everybody in the media on behalf of Clinton. And we can't forget that he has a big anti-Trump bias. He was, quote, desperate that Donald Trump not get elected, was passionate about him not being president. And on top of this, then we also have the issue and the problems of the FBI knowing that this was only in its infancy in terms of being verified. Well, that's a big problem. And then, or you got, you know, in the case of Bruce Orr, deputy senior DOJ official, worked closely with Sally Yates and later Rosenstein. And shortly after the election, the FBI began interviewing Orr, documenting his communications with Steele. And Steele admitted to Orr his feelings about the president, which were very negative. And during the same time period, Orr's wife was employed by Fusion GPS, and she was active in assisting and cultivating the op research that nobody verified that was then used for a FISA warrant against, well, then a candidate, Trump, and later an incoming administration. And according to the head of the FBI's counterintelligence division, the corroboration of the Steele dossier was in its infancy. So they never had verified it. So they're giving a court something that's not verified. They're not telling the court who's paying for it. Now, they did pay for it different levels, layers deep. Yeah, Clinton and the DNC paid for it. But then they paid Fusion GPS that hired Christopher Steele, and they funneled the money through a law firm, both the DNC and Hillary's campaign using the same law firm. I know this gets a little bit complicated, but it's not. But the corruption is pretty clear for everybody to see. The deception before a FISA judge is breathtaking, to be honest. And at some point, I got to imagine this judge is going to come out, and this judge is going to be pretty pissed off on a lot of levels. Joining us now with their reaction, we have Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, and Sidney Powell, federal appellate attorney, former federal prosecutor, author of the book License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice. I want to set one thing straight. I talked to an FBI buddy of mine, a special agent friend of mine this weekend, and I said, what's the feeling among the rank and file? Remember, this case was taken away from rank and file. The Hillary email server scan. Remember, it was given a special category. And then they wrote the exoneration before the investigation. I said, did you ever know a case where that happens? And he laughed at me. He's like, are you serious? You know, really? That's not how things work. And he even said, we don't know up until the last person we interview. Last person we interview may open up a whole new, you know, area of investigation. You don't write an exoneration before investigation. I said, we're hitting, you know, people like Comey and Rosenstein and these people really hard, because I think what they did is to basically try to influence an election in a major way and really undermine our democratic system. And he goes, the sad part for him and his fellow agents is that, you know, they have such great honor and integrity within the FBI. They love their jobs. And they said, no, this is going to hurt our agency because of the actions of a few. And I said, in terms of the minds of the American people, I said, no, that wouldn't be fair. You know, you have one bad priest or one bad preacher or one bad cop doesn't make all cops, preachers and pastors bad. I said, we have a few bad actors here, but that does not represent the rank and file in any way, or the rank and file in the intelligence community. Anyway, have you had a chance, Greg, yet to read the second memoranda? And now it looks like we have a second memo that was prepared for Christopher Steele.
You know, there are a total of 16 different dossiers that compose the final product. And all of them are, on their face, a fabrication. They're, you know, they're quite laughable when you read them because they're based on rumor and hearsay and innuendo and speculation and no direct evidence. And the fact remains that even if it was the dossier that got the FBI's attention, that's not legally sufficient under the law to launch a criminal probe of anybody, much less a political candidate.
I am told that
I would have you believe that it was the Papadopoulos conversation in London. Well, that's not sufficient either. And neither is the Trump Tower meeting with the Russian lawyer. None of these things justify, under the law, launching a criminal probe of Trump.
But they never tell the
FBI did it.
They never told the court. And this is even in the 10-page Democratic memo. My sources are very clear. They never explain where the money came from. They never explain that this was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Any judge that would have had a profound impact on them.
It was a fraud on the court, Sean. It was an absolute fraud on the court, and it was obstruction of justice by deceit.
Okay, so then let me ask
probably any number of other federal offenses, too.
Let's call it the Papadopoulos pretense. Explain why that wouldn't be legitimate, because apparently the Democrats talk about, no, this really began with Papadopoulos. Well,
they're just grasping at straws. There was nothing about the Papadopoulos conversation. I mean, he was just a hanger-on at the farthest links to the campaign, trying to ingratiate himself with anybody and everybody who would listen.
I was around the campaign. I never heard of a Papadopoulos, you know, for the year and a half I was there.
Well, think about what the FBI had here. An unidentified person in Moscow tells a professor he has dirt on Hillary. Professor tells Papadopoulos. He tells an Australian diplomat who tells the FBI, and forget the fact that the professor has denied he ever had the discussion. You know, this is a chain of chatter. It could have been a lie or an exaggeration.
Well, go back to this again. Explain Papadopoulos, because this goes to the heart of the Democratic response, if you will. You have somebody that nobody's ever heard from. The president doesn't know. I don't know. I was up to my eyeballs in this campaign. I know everybody in the campaign. Never heard of the guy. So he gets his source from who?
Well, he gets it from a London professor or a professor in London who got it from some unknown, unidentified person in Moscow. It then gets passed along to an Australian diplomat by the name of Downer, who then 2 months later When he hears about hacked emails, he says, oh, well, maybe there's some correlation. I'll tell the FBI. And according to the New York Times, and the New York Times was completely used by people in the FBI and the Department of Justice who were trying to now, after the fact, conjure out of thin air some justification for their criminal probe of Trump other than the dossier, because they know if it comes out that it was the dossier, it's an illegal probe.
All right, so
they've got absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. If they had anything, we would have heard the corroboration by now. They never corroborated anything.
All right, let's go to the Grassley memo that came out. Because at one point they say Steele gathered much of his information from government sources inside of Russia. And according to the law firm Perkins Coie, Mr. Steele's dossier-related efforts were funded through Fusion GPS by that law firm on behalf of the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Now, if it's only put in a FISA warrant as a footnote and doesn't mention that it all it says is it might have political taintings of some kind, but the FBI knew otherwise. They knew it was Clinton that funded it. Isn't that lying to a court to obtain a warrant?
Yes, absolutely. Any respectable judge in this country would be absolutely livid.
What about the timeline?
Information like that.
All right, so
timeline's even worse, Sean, because Carter Page had left the Trump campaign to whatever extent he had anything to do with it in the first place. He wasn't involved by the time they got the first warrant.
That's unbelievable. So in the Grassley memo that he put out today, Greg, it says that, look at the timeline. The FBI director in June of 2017 testified publicly that to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, he briefed President-elect Trump on the dossier allegations, and he said then they were salacious and unverified. Well, wasn't he the guy that was arguing, in fact, that they were verified and signing off on this, going to the FISA court to be used in part?
When you sign off on that, you are vouching for its credibility, its reliability to a federal judge to sign off on a warrant to surveil, to spy.
And on an American citizen.
Yeah, on an opposition campaign and an incoming president, it's even bigger.
Right. And you sign that under penalty of perjury. So an omission of a material fact like that is the equivalent of a lie. It's perjury, and it could be abuse of power also under the federal statutes.
Wow. Wow. Sydney, you want to weigh in on that?
I think it's clearly obstruction of justice under Section 1512, and it's definitely false statements.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Sydney Powell, more with Greg Jarrett on the other side. All right, as we continue, Sydney Powell and Greg Jarrett are with us. Did you guys see this? Remember a while back, it was Chucky Schumer goes out, and Chucky Schumer says, you better not mess with the intel community. You mess with the intel community, they got six ways in Sunday to get back at you. Well, you got this CNN guy, Phil Mudd. He said, well, the FBI's ticked at Trump over, you know, all of this, but they're going to win in the end because they've been around a lot longer than Trump. Doesn't that sound like a threat?
It does. And, you know, honestly, I don't think Phil Mudd knows what he's talking about. I don't really think he's talking to the same people I'm talking to. I talked to four former FBI guys in the last 3 days, and they tell me that the rank and file is upset, not at Trump, not at the Intel Committee. They're upset at the high-ranking partisan officials who launched a fabricated and false probe and got caught. And they're disappointed in their own leadership. Those are the villains.
All right. I really appreciate both of you. We'll have a lot more breaking tonight on Hannity. And the news media literally think that what Adam Schiff and company is putting out there actually answers questions. It does not. And now we have the second memo on top of the second dossier. We'll have more information at the top of the hour. Also, Herschel Walker is going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that. He, by the way, is a big MMA guy. We'll get his thoughts on the game yesterday and much more. Great game yesterday. For those of you that don't know, Linda grew up in Philly, so she was all excited. I lost a bunch of money, which I will be paying tomorrow. I didn't stop by the bank today. I pay off my debts. One of the greatest football players of all time, is with us on our newsmaker line, and I hear he's into MMA. I'm dying to hear about that. Herschel Walker, he's a Heisman Trophy winner back with the University of Georgia. And if you remember, he played for Donald Trump's New Jersey Generals at the U.S. Football League, and then he also played for the Cowboys and Vikings and later the Giants. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've been a fan of yours forever. One of the greatest athletes of all times and all time. And if you ever put your rushing numbers in the USFL with the NFL, you're in the top 10 among all NFL running backs. A pretty amazing career and a Heisman Trophy to boot.
Yes, I tell you, I've been very fortunate. I think I've had great coaches and great players, and it's been wonderful. I've had a great time.
What do you make of everything that's been going on with the concussions in the NFL and some of these players and all the headshots that they were taking? There was one Patriot that got blindsided with a helmet-to-helmet shot yesterday. It wasn't on purpose, but, I mean, how many times has your bell been rung like that really badly?
You know, it's been wrong a couple of times, but I don't think it's been wrong like the guy was wrong yesterday. I think I've been very fortunate. But at the same time, I think the NFL is trying, and they're trying hard to get a handle on it. But at the same time, I think also you got to have the right, the right tools and the right professional to diagnose a concussion compared to other things. Because, you know, guys that are retired, some of those guys, some are saying that they've had a concussion. That's the reason certain things are happening in their lives. And I don't think all that is true. I think the concussion is a big, big part. But also, I think there's other problems also that I think we got to acknowledge that is going on.
Yeah, no, I think we are, and I think we're making improvements. Look, things were different. I ride my bicycle now, and I see everybody else riding a bicycle with a helmet on. I mean, when I grew up, I was big into ice hockey. I played a lot of ice hockey as a kid, and we didn't wear helmets. And, you know, I wanted to be Bobby Clark, and he didn't have any teeth. And, you know, it was just a different time and era then, but I think if we have the ability to, I love this because it's a warrior sport. You've got people, you know, trying to kill each other, and the best team is going to come out on top. And it's both mental toughness and physical toughness on top of it. That's why I love the sport so much.
Well, you're right. I think it's a tough sport, and I think there's a lot of, I think companies now is trying to come out with better equipment that can help protect the players. And at the same time, players are getting bigger, they're getting faster, so the collision is a lot tougher than my time, than when I was playing. But I think we also got to have the right tools to diagnose what's a concussion. And if a guy has had a concussion, how long it takes for him to come back. I think that's one of the most important things right there.
Well, look, anytime you're taking multiple hits to the skull like that, you know, you run the risk that literally your brain begins to separate from the skull. And then it becomes very, you know, it's like getting into an auto accident. I think I read the average player like had many high collision crashes or the equivalent thereof over the course of their career. So it's pretty severe. What did you think of the game yesterday?
I thought it was a great game. I thought it was a great game. And if you hear some of the things I said early on, I thought Philly would win the game. You know, I think my hat was always off to the Patriots because they are very well coached. They got a great people in the front office. But I thought Philly, it was their time. I thought that defense of Philly was going to play, and they played, and they didn't give up. You know, when it came down to where Brady could win the game, you didn't see the defense of Philadelphia give up. That just shows the tough people there in Philly. That's the way, you know, I played in Philly. There's some tough people there. There's some great people there. And I tell you what, they're not going to give up. And I was happy to see it. You know, I was happy for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's great. You know, listen, they hadn't won one. Everyone hates Brady because he, you know, I mean, the guy's won enough. And that's the average feeling. And they don't like, I didn't think that Deflategate was such a big deal. But I read that you're into MMA now. Is that true?
That is true. I've had a couple of fights. And I've been working with Bellator as well, Scott Coker. As ambassador doing things at Bellator. And, you know, I've told people I will fight one more. I love this sport. I've been in martial arts for over 40 years now.
Wow. Look, I'm only in, like, my sixth year, and it's sort of an eclectic blend. I know you have – well, you're a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo, and you've done other things too. Didn't you once compete as an Olympic bobsledder?
I did. You know, one of the things that I tell people is Herschel Walker is an athlete. You know, I think sometimes people get quoted as being a football player. You know, I ran track with some of the fastest guys in the world. You know, I've done a lot of things, and the reason I've done that is I try to tell all the young people out there, guys, don't just pigeonhole yourself to one sport. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of different things. Find out what you're good at, and that's what you want to go towards. I don't think if you want to be a football player, maybe you're not a football player. Maybe you're a tennis player, and mm-hmm. play tennis because that's a great sport as well. And, you know, that's what I've always done. I never classified myself as a great football player, but I can say I think I'm a great athlete.
You are a great athlete. But you know what? You know what happens? I mean, for the kids that are to get good in any sport, and there's a big push for college scholarships in every sport, you know, at some point you got to make a decision and go all in on one because the competition is so severe. I know with my kids it's the same thing. Do you really do still about 2,000 push-ups a day, 2,500 sit-ups a day?
I do. I'm doing about 1,500 push-ups, about 3,500 sit-ups. And you know, I tell people that the reason I'm doing it is not to impress anyone. I do it because I'm still competing, and I'm not a weightlifter. You know, you have guys out bench pressing 500 pounds and all that stuff, and I don't do that. I don't do that. I do my isometrics, and I'm still competing on a world circuit. But I tell people this was so funny. It works for Herschel Walker. I'm not saying it's going to work for me, but you got to believe in what you do. If you don't believe in it, it's not going to work.
Listen, I think I'm doing a lot when I do. I do at least 100 push-ups a day, and I do at least 100 or more sit-ups a day, and I train 5 days a week for about an hour, hour and a half. And what I do is a little different. It's an eclectic blend of Kenpo and Krav Maga and jiu-jitsu. It's basically street martial arts. It's self-defense. I do firearm blade training and stick training. We do a lot of different things, and I love it. I don't lift either. I do more bands because I got a bum shoulder and a bum elbow. But
that's good, though. I think that's great. I think one of the things that people forget about is lifting weights are good for you, but at the same time, you want to have flexibility.
Those things
give you flexibility, which builds strength, and that's what I've been trying to tell people all the time. You're stronger when you have flexibility in that muscle, not when you bulk that muscle.
Look, I'm 56 years old. I'm not looking to, you know, look great on the beach. That day has passed a long time ago for me. But I'll tell you this. If I didn't start doing this 6 years ago, I can only imagine what I'd look like today. You know, I was always a good athlete, but I never bulked up. For the first time in my life, I'm building, like, serious muscle just by doing those types of that type of work and that type of training. It is a lot of core building, and it's a lot of, you know, for an older guy, do a lot of work on the heavy bag, a lot of work grappling, which, you know, is exhausting, and it's got me in great shape.
Well, I think you're like an example that I've been talking about with a lot of people. You know, everyone.
Yeah, I'm the fat old guy that changed my life around. That's right, yeah.
Well, and at the same time, you know, you're not using excuses. You're getting out doing it because you work hard. You know, I've seen your show, and you work extremely hard, but you're still working out. You're still doing the things you need to do to feel better. And I guarantee you have more energy. You have
absolutely
a lot more energy, and you feel better. And that's what I try to tell people. Sometimes working out is just not about getting in shape, but it makes you feel better. Your health is better. So
yeah, look,
you're not kicking a soccer ball.
There are days I wake up, I'm like, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. But you feel better after you've done it. Also, the discipline of doing it. And the third thing is I'm mentally tougher because of it. I mean,
you feel better.
Yeah, you do. You really do feel better. I mean, I know I feel better about myself. Look, I never want to ever have to use what I know against anybody. But I feel confident in my skills, you know, that I can defend myself and defend my family and defend my friends.
Well, you know, people don't know. You know, I grew up overweight. I was a fat little kid. I stuttered, had a speech impediment. But I was very fortunate that I had a high school coach that took me and he started working me out. And because of him working me out, making me feel better about Herschel Walker, I became valedictorian in my class. I got all these scholarships to go to college and stuff. And that's what I tell people. Sometimes working out makes you feel good about who you are. And I think that's the most important thing. I think today people are not sure of what they want to do or what they want to feel like. Everyone want to be Stephen Curry, but they don't want to pay the price to do it. And you have to pay the price if you want to do that.
Isn't that the big, you know, little secret in anything that you do that you've got to work at it? Like, I've never felt like I'm the most talented radio or TV guy, but I think I work harder than anybody. And I do all my work behind the scenes. I mean, when it comes showtime, well, that's the easy part of what I do, to be honest.
Well, I tell people that all the time. I tell kids, you know, you can't make hundreds in your classroom and not study. You got to go to the library, you have to study. You have to sacrifice. You know, you can't be going out. If you want to be a athlete, you can't be going out partying all the time. You have to put your craft in by going out practicing. You know, I've done hundreds of thousands of millions of push-ups. You know, people think that I just do it. I said, guys, I do it because I'm competing and I want to win. No, I'm tired of thinking that everyone's supposed to get a ball because they strike out and it make them feel good. You know, this is tough. Life is tough. And you got to realize, instead of getting a ball for striking out, go to the batting cage. Work on practicing, because that's how you're going to get better. By giving things to people all the time, I think it's hurt this society so much.
Why is it that you're
giving to it?
Because some people are self-motivated like you, and I would argue in many ways in my life I'm self-motivated and extremely competitive. You know, when did you notice you had this quality and that it was different from the guys, say, that you were playing with? Maybe they were even people more talented than you. I don't know. But they didn't want to work at their talent.
Well, you know, I got beat up when I was in the eighth grade. I got beat up by this kid. And it was funny because I remember going home and I said, no more. Yeah. I said, what would happen now is no one would ever outwork Herschel Walker. You know, you may have more talent. You may have more skills at it, but I can guarantee you won't outwork me, because I will work. I don't care what it's going to be. I'm going to outwork you. And because of my work ethic, I don't think you can ever beat me at anything that I set out to win.
That's awesome.
I'm going to outwork at it.
It's such good advice for everybody. By the way, I want to thank you. I know you're a huge advocate for the U.S. military and first responders, and I know you've been all around the world speaking for those who serve, and you recently partnered with Rocky Ridge Trucks, and you're launching a giveaway contest that's going to give away. And I have a picture of it in front of me here. It's a hand-painted, completely American-made 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500. It's worth $80,000. You're going to give what to a U.S. veteran or first responder, and the winner is going to be announced in March. How do you enter the contest?
Well, not just a U.S. veteran, but we're also giving it to an active member as well. And we hope to give away more than just this one. But you can enter the contest by going to RocketRidgeGive.com and register your name, or you can register anyone you know that has been in the U.S. military or active in the military. And we're going to have a selection in March to win this truck. But that's not all I do for the military. A lot of people don't know I'm at a base once a month all over the world. And I'm in a program that we treat almost 5,000 soldiers a year. And the reason I do that is because of them, we're the best country in the world, because of the United States military. And I'm sick and tired of even our Congress forgetting about them. And because I say the reason we're the country we are, because our military is on that wall for us every night and every day, doing great things for us.
They're the ones that sacrifice for all of us. What was it like, your experience with Donald Trump, when you played for his team?
Well, I love Donald. And it's sad to me that, you know, I don't think a good part of the Congress is not, you know, in Donald's corner. You know, he won this election fair and square, you know, through an election system that we put in place. And I think they should have give him an opportunity to govern right now. This country was made on law and order. And right now, I cannot believe some of the people in our Congress are not going by what they created. And it's sad, because I know he's a good man. I know he's not a racist, that he's trying to do what he can do. But he can't do it when you have people trying to fight him at every place. And what's sad about that, he's not just having to fight against North Korea, having to fight against all these other countries, ISIS. He's got to fight against people in our Congress.
They didn't want to give him one day. They've been undermining him from day one. Herschel, listen, it's an honor for me to talk to you. If you want, you can give out the website again, and we'll put it up on our website, Hannity.com. And it's free to register for the Silverado?
Yes, everything is free. Just go to RocketRidgeGive.com and register to win a 2018 Silverado, a beautiful truck. And I just want to say thank you to all our first responders. When something happened, they show up.
Big time.
Our military veterans and our active members, because thank you for giving me the privilege to have that freedom of speech that everybody has been talking about right now. But also, I want to use that freedom of speech to thank them for everything that they're doing.
Amen. RockyRidgeGives.com. I'll link it to Hannity.com. Herschel, it's an honor to get to know you. Can't wait to meet you in person. I'm a big fan, and I hope you'll come back again. We really appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me on. And I must say, I'm a big fan as well of yours. I've watched you at night now with everything going on with me being so close to Donald. And I want to thank you for all the great things you're doing for him, and saying the truth. You're saying the truth, and that's what counts.
I appreciate it, Herschel. It means a lot coming from you. It really does. I've been a fan for many, many years. Thank you, sir. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Now we have a second memo and the Democrat rebuttal, which is meaningless. Sarah Carter breaking new news on the new memo and the Clintons' involvement. Also, the great one, Mark Levin, Greg Jarrett, Pam Bondi, Sebastian Gorka, Tom Fitton, and much more. Hannity, news you won't get anywhere else on the Fox News Channel. We'll see you tonight at 9, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.